So let's remember that God is our Father. He has chosen us to do work in this, on this side of heaven, and to do all that He wants done. We must be living by the Spirit. So today, let's just go to God in prayer as we open up the service to glorify His name.
Hey,
Heavenly
Richard,
Father, we thank you. Yes, go ahead, please.
Sorry, I was just going to say what you're saying is so perfect because I was just reading Isaiah 1 this morning, and it talks about the times when Jerusalem had turned its back against God and they were worshiping idols and stuff like that, and it just seems to me is reflecting the times we're going into right now. So thank you for that.
Amen.
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 Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that are on this call. We thank you, Lord, that you prompt each heart to be in agreement with your word and your will. That, Lord, we are here today by the grace and mercy of you. So we come today, Father, to say thank you in the name of Jesus for your faithfulness, for your love, for your mercy. Father, not only for us, but others that we know, we love, we care for, and our neighbors, Lord God, who may not be lifting up your name. Lord, we come, Father, to thank you for them, Lord, and pray that you would call them by name as you called us. Father, we ask right now in the name of Jesus that, Lord, you would cleanse us and forgive us of all unrighteousness. That, Lord, this service would be a sweet aroma in your nostrils today, Lord God. It will not be just another coming together, but, Lord, it's coming together in your word to hear from you, to praise you, to glorify you, and to receive from you, Father, that you have for us to receive so that we may live a life that would truly honor you, Lord God.
Yes.
So, Lord, thank you today. Thank you for this time. Thank you for the gathering. Thank you for this service, Lord, that you will lead and guide it in the way you want it to go. So, Father, have your will today. You're welcome here, Father. You're welcome in the name of Jesus. You're welcome into this service. We praise you. We glorify you. We thank you, Jesus, for being our Lord and Savior. And we pray, Jesus, that you would guide the reader of the word in the way you want him to go, Holy Spirit. Have your way in Alexandra. Have your way in all that are on this call, Lord. Bless them to be able to speak in a way, Lord, that your words would speak through her, Father, that you would remove all anything that would want to hinder her from reading in the way that you wanted to read. And then, Lord, I pray that you give us all ears to truly hear. Give us an understanding, Father, that we've never had before. For we know your word is a living word. So, Father, speak to us in the way that you know we need to hear. Then, Lord, we lift up my wife, your daughter, in the name of Jesus, Jeanette, that, Lord, you would bless her to bring forth your word the way that, Lord, you want it to be spoken. Lord, you would speak through her. Let Jeanette decrease and you increase today, Father. We thank you for this time. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we pray that you would block all distractions that may want to come into these phone lines, that, Lord, Satan will not have his way today. Lord, we're here to honor and to glorify you. And we bless you, we praise you, and we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, you didn't have to wake us up this morning. Lord, you started us on this day. So, Lord, we give it back to you, and we say, praise you, Father. Glory to your name. Hallelujah, and thank you, Jesus. Lord, we ask for those that may be calling in, Lord, you continue to prompt their hearts to do so. And those that would like to call in but unable to, Father, bless them as well. Speak to their hearts, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, and thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. God be the glory.
God be the glory.
Hallelujah. I'm so honored to be on this call. I'm to be flying back from Canada right now, but God has placed me right here, so I'm honored to be on this call today.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you for your faithfulness.
Thank you, Lord.
We're going to start on Acts 12, but we'll see where this goes because there's something else on my heart that I can't seem to squash. And I tried to squash it earlier, but it's still. So I don't know how far we can get on that.
Hallelujah.
Let's start with Acts chapter 12.
Yes.
Now about the time Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church, Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw
that right Let's stop right there. Interesting. Holy Spirit will have its way.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Herod the king stretched out his to harass the church. Lord's been speaking to me about the time that we're living in and where the church. And the church, as we would put it in quotes, is becoming harder and harder to identify.
Yes.
Because of what's going on in this time that we're living in. We're talking about the very last days. And remember, the apostles thought they were in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
So we have generations and generations of people who think they're in the last days, but they're not in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
But now we actually are in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
Now there be no mistake about it. All of the prophecies, I think it's 98% of all prophecy in the Bible has been fulfilled.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Our time is up.
Yes, Lord.
Lord was speaking to me about Babylon earlier this week. And I don't know if everybody on this call has been made aware of that, but we are Babylon. The Revelations talks about Mystery Babylon, and I'll get into that in more detail another day. But Mystery Babylon is America.
Mm-hmm.
And America, and you know that it is Mystery Babylon because she fits the entire prophecy. When Daniel was talking about Babylon, it was without a name. And he was talking about Mystery Babylon, or it was talked about a nation that would rise up. And all he could say is it was a nation that rose up, and it had a very, very short lifespan because that nation will be destroyed. And we are in that time now. And the army that's going to destroy America will be coming from the north. A lot of people thought that we're in prophecy about 30, 40 years ago said, well, that's not going to happen because Russia's been destroyed. Russia's fallen.
Yes.
Russia is still fallen.
Yes.
As the kings, I think all that happened is that we got a stay and we got a little bit more time to try to get it together as a world and as a nation. But we have chosen to go all the way now. All the way completely into sin with no acknowledgement of God. Almost every single television show is dealing with some kind of demonic mess.
Yeah.
And they're not hiding it anymore. They made their show Lucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
They're pushing witchcraft on our children before a child even knows which way is up. And I don't need to rehearse all the things the adversary is doing because everyone here on this call already knows.
Yes.
Take a look around. But as Herod increased his persecution against the church, as the world is going to increase its persecution against, as the government right now is signing into law things that are anti-Christ.
Yes.
That's what's going on. Government funds are being used to push pedophilia, to push pornography on young people. There's no line because when you take God out of the equation, then where is a moral standard being set from?
Hallelujah.
There's no possibility of a moral standard once you remove God.
Amen. Amen.
That means anything you think you feel like doing should be okay. Who's to say it's wrong to rape a child? Who says that?
No.
Well, you take away moral law. Who says that it's wrong to kill if you need some money? They got it, you need it, you take it. Who says that?
Not much to tell you.
So here we have it. We have the fastest moral decaying nation in the world is America, hand in hand with Europe right now.
Yes.
And we're living in it. And the kings of the earth, our presidents, aren't doing much to change it. Matter of fact, they're signing into law things that increase the persecution of the church. They're trying to take away even a tax break because sad, and I mean this is the saddest thing, it's been sad my whole life. A whole lot of people will not pay tithes if they can't write it off.
Amen.
So what are they signing now? You can't write it off. You can write off a tiny little portion, but if you give more than $1,000 a year, sorry, we're not going to acknowledge that. Now, do you still want to support the church? Would you support the church if you don't get any tax benefit? Well, sad enough, because the churches have, you know, really been watered down, and the Spirit of God is not operating and convicting and bringing, well, hey, on that note, I can't give anymore. So the churches in Europe have pretty much, the majority of them have folded. As we said last week, maybe, or somebody brought up how the major cathedral now in Europe is being used as a nightclub. Michael was in Europe not that long ago, maybe about 4 years ago at the most. And what he saw was really astounding at how Antichrist places were, from Germany to you name it. Antichrist, very blatant Antichrist, not hiding it. America hasn't gotten there quite yet, but say Christian and watch how fast people start rolling their eyes. Say God anything and watch how fast people start pulling away. I'm telling you this because we have to dig in, not run.
Amen.
Unless you're going to do what was warned in Daniel that said, get out of Babylon altogether. Okay? These are the choices. And these are the choices that were happening here in Acts as well. You could stay in Jerusalem and fight the battle, but most chose to flee for their lives. I'm going to guess that the remnant of the church that's here in America that's left is not going to leave Babylon because we're too comfortable.
Yes, amen.
I say, well, let me see one of the better places. Well, let's try Ghana. Ghana has a good reputation, and there's some places in, I don't know. So most of us are not going to flee America. Well, then if you're not going to flee, then you can expect that when the persecution hits, you're it.
Amen.
That means you're going to have to stand. It means you're going to have to dig in. It means you're going to have to be wise on your picking your battles. Now, what am I talking about, wise picking your battles? I'm talking about pay attention to the environment you're in before you start coming in, slinging a sword all over the place. Get a grip on where you are. Discern the place that you're in. Is this a place, and how can I and Holy Spirit lead me? Holy Spirit, lead me. Let me know when to be bold and when to talk, and let me know when to just observe so I can identify the enemy.
Yes, Lord.
You've got a lot of people now that are antichrist, and they would never say they're antichrist.
Yes.
They would never say that. They would say, no, I'm cool with whatever you believe. What is it? Your truth is cool. My truth is cool. We're all cool with each other's truths. There's only one truth. There can't be multiple truths on the same subject. There just can't be.
Yes.
Either Jesus died and rose again, or he didn't. There can't be, well, I believe that he came. And then he taught. I even believe he did miracles, but this rising from the dead part, I don't really believe that. That's not my truth. And then someone else says, well, I know he rose from the dead. I believe that he rose from the dead. I'm sure of it. That's my truth.
Well, you have your truth. I have my truth. There can't be multiple truths.
Amen.
The word truth itself eliminates that possibility.
Yes.
So if we get caught up in any kind of cultural way of saying that, everybody has their own truth. It's not, that's not, you're either in a lie or you're in truth.
Mm.
Just because you believe it doesn't make it so. You can believe that, you know, the sky is, you know, made of wood, doesn't make it so just because you believe it. So it's not a truth.
Amen.
It's a lie that you believe. No matter how deceived you are, and maybe you're truly deceived, but it's still a lie. Doesn't change.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to get to the verse 2. And then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. As things heat up, as the persecution against the church increases, there's going to be casualties.
Yes.
And that's a great loss to the church for James to be murdered. However, whatever James was sent to do and be, he completed it. I want us to begin to see persecution a little bit different and see the results a little bit different, because we say, oh, he killed James, and it struck fear in the apostles. It struck fear in disciples, and it struck fear in the early church form, and not to mention the grief and the sorrow that comes with this kind of thing.
Yes.
But I'm going to challenge you to now walk in the Spirit and see things from God's perspective. There's no way Herod was in charge of taking James's life.
Hallelujah.
There's no way. There is no way.
Jesus predicted
it. Amen. He's not in control. Herod is the tool being used by the adversary at any point, but he's not the one in control. If God let James go home, James was finished.
Amen.
And James's role was to be what James was. James's role was to be martyred early. We've got to learn how to rejoice in what's going on and be joyful in all things, and all things give thanks. Because if we can't get that, we're going to have a very hard time with what we're going into.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's critical. As everyone on the call this morning is in leadership, it's critical, because you're going to be pastoring, you're going to be evangelizing, you're going to be talking, you're going to be teaching people that can't see the bigger picture. They can't see that God's hand and God's plan is in all of it. You have to be able to see that. You can't pass that on if you're tore up yourself.
Yes.
There's nobody that went home in COVID that God did not allow.
Amen.
Yes.
Oh, what are they doing now? They're just taking out, they're shutting down, they're doing this, they're doing. Hey, God's people can't be touched unless God allows it.
Hallelujah.
Most of you on this call know Demetrius. Demetrius was finished.
God bless.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh, this young man has so much. He's such a light, such a blessing to this world. But the Lord said, no, actually, he's finished.
Hallelujah.
Not only is he finished, but he suffered enough. Demetrius finished his journey here on earth, says the Lord.
Amen.
Says the Lord, says the Lord.
Says the Lord.
Yes.
Because otherwise he'd still be here.
Yes.
James had finished his journey. There were going to be figures of renown that would be martyred, because this is what's coming in. This is what we need to see a little over 2,000 years later. The Lord allowed James to be taken. The Lord, it will allow certain things to come into our lives. We're going to have losses ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But when you see a loss and it's a child of God and it's somebody you love, learn how to be grateful for them.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Learn how to be grateful for the time you had them in, they were doing their work here on earth. Learn how to appreciate the time you had with them and then be happy for them that they finished what they were here to do and get on with finishing what you're here to do.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because you got a time too. Everybody's got a ticket.
Say that.
Strange.
When I talked to my father some years ago, and we were talking about when the war, whatever war, whichever one this was, that he was drafted. He was 19 years old when he was drafted. Everybody's ticket's going to come up. All of us are going to be drafted.
Yes.
When I think it's what drafted was, for them back then, it meant that your ticket just came in, you must report, and in most cases, you must go die.
Yes.
And for you to, your number came up.
Yes.
Well, that's how it's going to be for you and I also. You have a number, you have a date, you have a time already set.
Mm-hmm.
Learn how to see things from the bigger picture so you can help others see things from the bigger picture when disaster and calamity, as we call it, and death and destruction come, because it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Just thank God for those who get out of here.
Hallelujah.
Thank God that there's no one they have to go through to make it. They've made it. They're gone. If you're still here, you got work to do. Help people see and understand that. Keep going.
Question.
Oh, Richard.
This John, was he the same John that was exiled to the island of Patmos?
Yes.
That wrote the World Revelation?
Yes.
That division of Revelation? Okay.
Okay, Sandra.
And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further Peter. I'm sorry.
Sorry, I want to address something that you just asked me. It's the same John also that leaned on Jesus during the Last Supper. And Jesus said, what's it to you if he never dies? Or something like that. I can't remember right now, but it's the same one because a rumor went out that said that John would never die until the time of Jesus is coming.
Mm-hmm.
It's not what Jesus said. He said, what's it to you?
Mm-hmm.
Telling them, mind your own business
about John.
Yes, same John. Okay, sorry, Zandra.
That's quite all right. Verse 3. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Continue.
One more thing about John. It just kind of bugged me. He said that John would not pass till he saw him in glory.
Mm-hmm.
And John did see him in glory when he was a prisoner. It wasn't that John was going to be there for the second coming. It's that John was going to see the revelation of the second coming and been caught up and got to see all these wonderful things. But Jesus said, I'm not explaining that to you. It's none of your business.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So that sometimes God will tell us something and will say something to you that you are not going to understand, and especially the people around you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody on this call that's speaking today experienced that. Lord told somebody on this call that's reading today to do something, and the people did not receive at all, didn't understand it.
Yes.
They couldn't understand it because it wasn't for them to understand. The the test was to you for you to just be obedient.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Hallelujah.
If the Lord told you, I remember sitting at the table and I looked over and I said, did the Lord tell you this? You said, yes. Mm-hmm. Then I was done.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Now everybody else is saying, maybe they can follow, maybe not. Mm-hmm. It wasn't time yet for them to understand.
Yes.
So sometimes even with the apostles or the disciples at that time, Jesus said things that left them in confusion. And then later, way down the road, when Revelations is written by John, it becomes clearer to us today that it is yet another prophecy of Jesus, not just misunderstood, but fulfilled.
Hallelujah.
Okay.
Now, was this the James who, I know James was a common name back in that time, but he was also the disciple of Jesus. He wrote the book of James?
No.
Okay.
Another James.
Okay.
Good question. Verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison. And he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but through he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. In Jesus Christ's name. I know you want to pause right there.
Right there.
This
is amazing.
Hallelujah.
And we're going to pick out some principles that are not always noticed, but jumped out the page to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When the Lord sent an angel to guide Peter out of this prison, the angel did what Peter cannot. Drop the chains, drop the fetters, open the door. That's what Peter couldn't do. But he did have something for Peter to do. Get up quickly. Put on your sandals.
Yes, gird up.
Gird up your loins.
Yes.
And get ready. You have a part to play too. Mm-hmm. The Lord will come and he'll do the parts you cannot do.
Amen.
Yeah.
Leave that to God, but you be ready to walk when he says walk.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yeah.
You be dressed when he says be dressed.
Mm-hmm.
Not laying up someplace.
Mm. Come on.
The Lord said, come on, let's go. And you're sitting there, we have to go now.
Lord, I'm tired.
I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the point?
Yeah.
They're going to kill me in the morning. Anyway, no, when the Spirit sent by God said, get up and move, he got up and moved.
Yes,
and then he continued to clothe himself and get ready. And I said, quickly. There's no time for conversation here.
Mm-mm.
But look at God. Look at God. Look at how God took care of the part that Peter can't take care of.
Hallelujah.
Peter can do nothing about that. Even an auto door.
Mm-hmm.
We have auto doors now, but they weren't out at that time. An auto door, the prison gate opened itself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. When you're walking in where God has you to walk, everything will get out of your way.
Preach that right there. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. Amen.
Understand that. You don't have to walk in fear and lack of faith. God will take care of it. Just do what he said do. If he said, I can't, if I go any further, the gate's locked. God was already taking care of everything along the way. And that's how he will do as he takes and rescues you from the hand of the enemy.
Hallelujah.
Or you're on a mission that he told you to go on. He'll open the door. Don't start while you're still in prison. I see the chains fell off and the guards are asleep, but they'll probably wake up. And then there's me when you get past that gate. You just walk. You just walk and do.
Yes.
God says for you to go do, you go do. Because everything will make way for you to complete what God is calling you to do.
Hallelujah.
Everything will step aside.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah.
Now, in Peter's case here, he wasn't even sure this was in the dream, because if he has dreams and visions, which he does, if you have that gift of dreams and visions, sometimes you can't tell if this is happening, is it a vision? You can't tell. I know I can't. So I have dreams and visions, and sometimes a dream can be so vivid that I can't tell if it's happening. Did that happen or did it not happen? Peter was in that state. Peter did have dreams and visions. You know that because he had one on the roof.
Mm-hmm.
Just a week ago when these, you know, animals were brought down in a sheet, he saw that. Okay. Continue.
Verse 11. Sure. Verse 11. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. Hallelujah. So when he had considered this, yes, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhonda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. I've done that. But they say to her, you are beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, it is his angel. Now Peter continued to knock. And when they opened the door. Yes.
One sec. If you've been praying all night, because Peter's going to be executed in the morning, you've been praying all night, Lord, deliver him. What is going on? Why you don't believe he's at the door?
Because he was excited. He's just excited. Like, oh my God.
Rhoda got excited, but when she brought the report that Peter's at the door, at first they tell her, you're imagining things, then they tell her, well, it's his spirit.
Right.
Why is it that when we ask God for something and then he answers, we're shocked?
We're doubting.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Doubt.
You're
exactly.
Not praying in faith.
Amen.
Right.
You're going through the exercise, people, but you're not believing.
Right.
Because if you believed, you would have been looking out the door every 5 minutes. He should be here any minute. We're praying.
Tell it.
He would have been at the door.
Expectation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He would have been, somebody check the window.
Yeah.
He should be coming up this road.
Wow.
We're praying.
Amen.
Just imagine that would look and how powerful that could be if it says like that.
Exactly, Tammy. Tammy says how powerful it could be. Imagine if our faith comes to that level, that when you pray with such expectation that you start making arrangements.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go park the Uber outside the jail. He's coming out.
Amen. Amen.
That's what we ought to be doing.
Yeah.
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 That was a good word, be because I'm starting to see some of answer to prayer with my daughter, and I have to be careful not to get not to start doubting when I, you know, when I see when something doesn't go the way I think it's all supposed to go. But for me to just keep praying with expectation and imagine her when she's to the point where, you know, God really has a hold on her and just the future for her and what God's plan for her is. And so I think the more that I just walk in that, then it's just going to be so powerful.
Also takes your eyes off of watching the grass grow.
Right, exactly.
Hello.
Start seeing and believing what you're praying for.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So I need a car. I remember one time I needed a laptop, right? I had desktop crash, blew up.
I remember that.
I needed a laptop. I didn't have any money to go buy a laptop.
Yep.
The Lord said, go to Best Buy and look around and see what it is you want.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, that's kind of like, I don't have any money. But I went to Best Buy, I walked around, and I found this little MacBook Air. It was lightweight. It was, I said, this is what I'd like, Lord. This is perfect. This is what I'd like. And then I went home. I didn't talk to a salesperson, nothing. We said, wait. How about within a week, I get a call from one of my sons, and he says, I have a MacBook Air, Mom. Do you need it?
Yep, I remember that.
Just like that. I hang up the MacBook within, I guess, about 10 days. Max.
Hallelujah. Mm-hmm.
That's God. He says, go look at it. You need a car? Well, go find a car you like. Go find the car you like, and then just wait for the Lord to do what he's going to do. He knows if you're broke.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to work it out, but you got to walk. Amen. Like Peter had to get dressed with expectation. Angels telling you, let's go, then get ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm. Being led by his spirit. Faith, trust, and act on it. Because we talk about, faith without works is dead. What does that look like? It looks like what you're looking at here, praying all night for somebody, and then when they show up, you don't believe them. You even tell somebody who says he's out the door, stop, you're delusional, it's a spirit. Anyway, keep going.
Verse 16. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go tell these things to James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Verse 18.
Amen.
Amen.
Hold up.
Amen.
Here.
Yes.
They were astonished. Peter quieted them, and then Peter left because Peter needed to leave. And I believe that Peter was being led by the Spirit to leave.
Yeah.
Because sometimes that's really what you need to do. He says in every temptation there's a way of escape. Also, he makes a way of escape if he's trying to help you. Use some wisdom here.
Mm.
Ow.
Yes.
So Peter had to go on about his way. Keep going.
Then as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers about what had become of Peter. But when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. And we went down from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. Verse 20.
Look at
now, Herod.
I want you to see, hold on one second, I want us to pay attention to the contrast. Those of you who know people who are on the fence, look how the devil treats look how the devil treats his people in contrast to look how God treats people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You don't do what he tells you to do, he'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
You had an accident that's not right. even your fault. He will kill you.
Right.
Amen. Yes.
Mm. The Lord actually gives us choices. And then he suffers long with us.
Mm-hmm.
He's patient with us. He tries to help us make a better decision next time. Uses our circumstances to teach us. This dude, no. I don't know what happened, but you're dead. Okay.
Verse 20. Now Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, "The voice of God and not of man." Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Amen. Verse 25. And Barnabas.
You're stop right there. Oh, yeah, go ahead, finish that.
And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry. And they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Amen.
We're going to stop there. Herod's violent death. And I'm going to tell this story because, you know, somebody might just roll their eyes and say I'm insensitive, but I'm going to tell this story.
Yeah.
Herod, an unbeliever, definitely an unbeliever, and a wicked man, had been allowed, oh, did I say allowed? He was allowed to be king.
Mm-hmm.
No. He's allowed to be king, and therefore God has given him, allowed him, a lot of rope.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a line, and Herod crossed it.
Mm-hmm.
So when he started and allowed people to say that this is the voice, this is not the voice of a man, this is the voice of a God.
So they were supporting him as God.
And Herod allowed them to do so. Mm-hmm. Herod allowed them to do so. The people, they were just kissing up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, Sidon and Tyre, need the food that's coming from Herod's palace.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we need peace with this guy, and we're going to flatter him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the way we're going to flatter him is just, wow, he said some words. Let's make as much of it as we can. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're great. You're wonderful. You're so amazing.
Right.
Now you cross the line and you start saying, this is the voice of a God. Even Herod cannot receive the praise that belongs to God.
Right.
And he took it too far.
Amen.
Now, what the people did. But Herod was supposed to correct that.
Right.
And Herod did not say, oh, no, I'm a king, but I'm not a God. Herod couldn't do that. His pride was being fed. He was getting all puffed up, and the Lord struck him. Let me give you a quick story of somebody I know who did the same thing. I don't know them personally, but I remember standing in the dining room part of my mother's house with the TV on when it happened. Muhammad Ali, who was known for, you know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, he had all these wonderful things he said about himself, right?
Right.
But I remember standing in that part of my mother's house. He was on the television, and he said, I'm a god!
He said, I'm a god.
I couldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did not take long before he was struck down.
That's right. Yes.
Struck down.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to have to live. It isn't even like he was fortunate to die right then and there. No. He got to live in this state of humility the rest of his life.
Yes.
Someone who can't even form a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
I remember when I stood there in my that part of my mom's house looking at that TV, I said, he shouldn't have done that. It was as clear as crystal clear right then and there. I must have been around 16 if I was still standing around.
Maybe younger. I was less than 16. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember, and I remember that moment. I remember I said, he shouldn't have done that.
You had to be about maybe eight.
Yep.
Because I was about 10. My dad was still alive when he did it.
Okay, well, we will.
But it's been played over and over.
Everybody's seen it, yeah. Even recently, that film has been shown again in that scene, yes.
Right. Yeah, I remember that day explicitly, and I say just what Jeanette says. I said, he's on for a fall now.
Yeah.
It was sad. I remember that day. But the point I wanted to make was about King Herod. King Herod was King Herod Agrippa,
mm-hmm.
and the word was that he was the nephew of Herod the Antipas, who murdered John the Baptist, and he was the grandson of Herod the Great, who had the children of Bethlehem put to death in search for who? Jesus. So he came from a lineage of evil doers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
God was merciful to him until what Jeanette just said when he wanted to seek the praise. See, God is long-suffering with us. He'll go through it. Even though they may be, God will have a point that you, a line that you cannot cross. And once you do, you're done.
And then here we are looking again at Herod, if we go all the way back to his great-grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
All that great-grandfather, that evil Herod, the one looking for the child. Oops. Mm. Okay. our time is up. But the king that was looking for the child, all he was doing was fulfilling prophecy again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Remember what we started this whole Bible study or this sermon about today? God's will is being done. Mm-hmm. See the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
See the bigger picture. I'm going to go right into because I didn't realize the time was gone. Oops. Thank you, Tammy.
It's okay. God's will be done.
God's will is being done.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
His will is being done.
And I think that's something for us to remember when we're in prayer. I wanted to point out when Peter was in prison, it said the people prayed all night, I think it said. And so we got to look at that too. Our family members, when the people we know are imprisoned through whatever bondage that they're in, we need to continually pray for them, but pray with expectation and with hope.
And look at God's patience when your faith is wavering.
Hallelujah. Yep.
Look at how God handled it. He didn't say, wait. I just left Peter in prison, and you all don't even believe he's at the door? Get back in prison, Peter.
Right. And that's some of the thoughts that I have. It's like, but I can't.
Just so you know, what God is doing in their lives is not going to be predicated solely on your faith.
Right.
He understands he's building your faith as he's delivering our children or whoever we're praying for.
Yes.
He's building your faith. That's right. Even in your wavered faith, he answers prayer. Why does he answer prayer? So that your faith can grow. Mm-hmm. What's your part? Pray.
Yes. Right.
Well, they say, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. We'll read James and think, what's the point in praying? Because sometimes my faith isn't there. Keep praying. Keep praying.
Amen.
Because God will answer prayer and your faith will grow. We don't come here with so much faith that we don't need faith.
Mm.
We come here with a little tiny bitty nothing, and God builds on it by answering our prayers and by showing his hand in our life. Don't think because my faith isn't there yet, because that would be a trick of the enemy. Well, what's the point in praying? You know you don't really have faith. You know you doubt 5 minutes after you pray. So, and you know you take it back. You don't even leave it at the cross. So what's the point? The point is that God will be God, and he will show you that he's worthy of your trust.
Amen.
He's worthy of your trust. And he doesn't mind proving it. He's not offended. He's not mad at you. Just do what you know to do.
Yeah.
So on the night that Jesus knew what was coming, he told his disciples that were all at the table worried about other things, earthly matters, that he was going to be leaving soon. If we could just quiet our spirits and our hearts and go to the table where Jesus was that night. Imagine yourself at the table and all the chatter, the Passover, the big celebrations coming up, and Jesus picked out this room without even knowing where it was, and the miracle just that we're in this upper room with him. And he's trying to tell us something, but we're not listening. And what he's trying to tell us is that he's getting ready to go through the worst ordeal ever. And it's not just going to be an ordeal of pain and suffering. It's going to be an ordeal that's supernatural. Supernatural in that he's about to take all of your sin and my sin and everybody at this table's sin and then everybody in the world's sin upon his own shoulders.
Yes.
And he's going to do it as a lamb being led to the slaughter. In other words, willingly. If you ever see lambs or sheep when they're being led to the slaughter, one, they're in a line, and one comes up, and they cut up, you know, they do what they do, slaughter the sheep. And then the next one just steps up. He's led. He doesn't resist. He saw what happened to the guy in front of him, but he is led. And he doesn't resist. That's why Jesus compared himself to sheep being led to the slaughter, because he could have called an army of angels to come. He could have resisted. He could have made himself being just like that, invisible, and they couldn't even find him in that Gethsemane.
Yes.
But he allowed them to lead him to the slaughter because he knew his purpose.
Yes, Father.
Lord, I ask you that you help us to know our purpose.
Yes, Father.
Help us to understand why we're here on earth so that we don't get so caught up in the things of this earth.
Please, Father.
That don't transfer to heaven.
Yes, Lord. Please.
Let us be caught up in things that are eternal.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Please, Father.
Give us the focus
that we need.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
So on that night, he tried to get their attention. He took the bread. And he broke it, and he was trying to show them, this is my body which will be broken for you.
Yes.
Yes, Lord.
They had no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah.
A new covenant, people, is about to be established for you. And as he broke the bread, he tried to tell them, and they still didn't get it. But his body was broken so that a new promise could be established for us. That's so beautiful, a new promise.
Yes, Lord.
A promise that we won't be doing the sacrifices anymore. We're going to stand under the cross.
Yes.
We're going to be shielded by your blood, which protects us from what sin brings, which is death and destruction. So he took the bread, broke it, handed it to them, said, take this and eat it, all of you. And when you do this, I want you to remember what happened. And they're saying, remember what?
Yes.
Do this in remembrance of me. That's all he could really tell them at that time, because they weren't really understanding it. My body's going to be broken. They don't know what you're talking about.
Yes.
Oh, but you will. And you know when we will really understand it? When we stand before judgment.
Yes.
And he says, this one is covered in blood.
Yes.
This one's name is written in the Lamb's book of life.
Yes. Yes.
Then we will understand what this communion is about.
Yes.
In totality. But take it and eat it. Before you do, just make sure, ask the Lord to examine your heart, forgive you for any offenses, knowing and unknowing. Take and eat. He took the cup and he said, this is the blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant, the cup of the New Testament. The new covenant, the new promise. And this represents the blood that's been going to be shed. It hadn't been shed yet. He's in the upper room. It hadn't been shed yet. But they don't know what you're talking about. But it doesn't matter because you will. Mm-hmm. Well, this is the blood of the new covenant, the new promise that he's making. What's that promise? If you call on my name, if you repent, you will be saved. This blood that's going to be shed tonight that you don't even understand is going to cover you when you're victorious and when you're not.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes.
It's going to cover you. You are covered by a new promise I'm making. And I'm making this promise because later on tonight, I'm going to my death for you.
Yes. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
He said, take it, drink it, remember. Do this often. Yes, remember, Lord. This didn't come easy. I know you guys don't even know what I'm talking about right now at this table. Didn't come easy. What's going to happen tonight? But as often as you do this from now on, remember this.
Yes, Lord.
Do promise. Drink. Praise and thanksgiving.
Hallelujah.
Praise and thanksgiving.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
What he did willingly on our behalf.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Be strengthened by the presence of his power, of his spirit within
you. Thank you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus Christ.
Have a happy Sunday.
Amen. Happy Sunday back at you, sister and the family. God bless everyone.
Safe travel.
Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Amen.
Goodbye, everybody.